From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio, focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. We come to you every Monday through Friday. You can reach us also on the diocesan website. You go to scd.org, and all our shows are archived there, and you can listen to them whenever it is comfortable for you to listen to them at home. So you don't have to worry about what time we are on the radio, although we are on at 9 p.m. on these stations every Monday through Friday, and then a special show, Best Of, at 10 a.m. on Sundays. And I had the great pleasure over the weekend, Sunday night, to be at the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home dinner at the Dante Club. And I tell you, I've been at these events. I think I've been at all of them. This is the 12th annual. And it was amazing to see the energy and the size of the crowd. They always have a good crowd. But Gabe, we were told a week ago, don't bother to make any more announcements because it's sold out. It was more than sold out. Usually when you go to these banquets, they have these tables that seat maybe 8 or 10. They're big round tables, and then the stage taking up part. Well, for this they reconfigured it so that they could get an extra 50, 60 people in there. And I think they got an extra 100 or so. They had 330 people at the Dante Club. It's the most people they've ever had, and they had this. They didn't even have a stage; they just had a microphone and a tiny stand because they wanted to get as many people in as they could. And oh my goodness, what an event! Lenore Malarkey, the longtime director of the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home, is retiring. And so that was a very emotional moment for all of us and for Lenore as well. And then they announced the person who will be the new director. And it was a wonderful evening. Sheriff John McGinnis, former Sheriff John McGinnis from Sacramento County, was the guest speaker. And it was just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful event. Bishop Soto came and offered grace and offered a wonderful gift to Lenore Malarkey. A wonderful gift certificate to Southwest Airlines so she can get around the country and visit all her kids in her retirement. She plans to retire ultimately into the Coeur d'Alene area in northern Idaho. So we all wish her well and pray for her as 27 years as the head person, the executive director of the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home. Also honored were Monsignor Edward Cavanaugh, who died on St. Patrick's Day of this year, longtime pastor at St. Rose on Franklin Boulevard, so involved in the St. Patrick's home, St. Patrick's School. Also, Betty Ann Lambert, a longtime board member of the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home, who passed away on May the 13th. Of course, that's the day of the first apparition of Our Lady of Fatima. So, very important people who have done a lot here in the diocese. It was just a wonderful, wonderful evening at the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home dinner. And if you get the chance, mark your calendars. It's always the second Sunday of September. Mark your calendar. I'm sure it'll be that date next year. Mark your calendars because it is a very inspiring. We heard from one of the people who had been served by the Bishop Gallegos Maternity Home, and it was so inspiring. So if you haven't ever made it, try to make it next year. It's a wonderful event. Well, we're pleased and honored to have in Kay Bell-Womany, the regional marketing consultant for Relevant Radio here in Sacramento. Kay, it's been too long since we've talked.
It has been, Bob. Good morning. How are you?
Very, very good. Just cranking along, hoping that fall arrives pretty soon. Tired of running the air conditioner.
Well, I did hear we're supposed to have a couple days in the 70s this week. So,
is that at night or is that in the daytime?
No, during the day.
That's
looks
good.
Like Wednesday, Thursday, maybe. So
oh, we'll take
for
it.
That.
Are you going to start doing weather forecasting here for our show?
No, I would like to, but No, I'm pretty busy with what I'm doing now for Relevant Radio. So
I bet you are. You're doing all kinds of things, but wearing many hats.
I am, and I actually, in the beginning of June, I've been. Of course, I was with the Macklett Heart Radio,
right.
So I'm going on about 8 years now with the Macklett Heart. Now with Relevant Radio, started out in donor relations and went into a national advertising consultant. And now I'm a regional consultant for Relevant Radio. So I focus on the Southwest primarily. Mm-hmm. I also have Maui. I have Salt Lake City, all of our 10 stations in New Mexico. So helping them to promote their businesses on Relevant Radio. So it's,
wow.
I enjoy that because I can work with them, get their commercials produced and created and help the businesses.
Not a bad place to visit either.
No, I haven't made it. I'm trying to get some accounts going. I have several in Maui, but I'm trying to get a few more to justify a trip over there.
Let's see. Gabe, I think we should do some remote broadcasts. When Kay goes to Maui, we should do some remote broadcasts from over there. Make it a package deal.
Yeah.
And even this, the American Southwest, I just love it. It's just so much Catholic history down there too.
There is. There absolutely is. And I just saw a couple days ago too that they're looking at more severe weather coming their way. So.
Well, it's the monsoon time of year. So.
Right.
They get a lot of that. I remember when they opened the, it was Immaculate Heart Radio at the time. The station and also the launch the Bishop's Hour for Archbishop Sheehan, who was the Archbishop of Santa Fe, and went down there for that and broadcast the first show with them, and it was such a celebration. And of course that's really taken off. What did you say, 10 stations now in New Mexico?
Right, we have 10 now. Right, and it's I get quite a few calls from New Mexico. And we do a lot of promoting of Catholic businesses, and I work with Christine DuPont,
mm-hmm.
who takes care of the development side for New Mexico. So we work together as a team. So if I find out that a business also, let's say like a Catholic school, also has an event they'd like to promote,
mm-hmm.
then she helps me with the event part of it, and I help with the advertising part of it. So there's a lot of activity that we're working on together down there to promote the schools and different activities throughout the diocese. And so, yeah, it's exciting. A lot of enthusiasm for Relevant Radio down there. So, yeah, it makes it fun to work in that area.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, speaking of which, you have a big announcement about a wonderful movie.
We do. Carmel Communications has been a longtime advertiser back with the Macleod Heart and now with Relevant Radio. And they go back quite a few years. And what they are, they're a Catholic PR, they do public relations, marketing, consulting agency for Catholic movies, books, anything Catholic related. And so, of course, they do a lot of advertising with Relevant Radio. And an opportunity was presented to us, and this is the first time for me, so it's exciting to be able to host this event. And what we're doing is they offered us a pre-screening of the movie Unbroken. It's called Unbroken: Path to Redemption. And I've not seen the movie. We weren't able to get a copy of the movie. I watched the trailer. One of my coworkers, a couple of them, in fact, read the book, so they're going to be there and they're excited about it. But they offered us this free screening for our listeners. So I wanted to let your listeners, Bob, know as well that they're invited. It's going to be this Wednesday at the Century 16 Theaters. That's 6233 Garfield Avenue there in Sacramento. And it's Wednesday, September 12th at 7 p.m. It's a really easy way for your listeners to get their free tickets. And again, I want to stress that these are free, so there's no charge to any of the listeners if they'd like to come down and see the screening. We have plenty of tickets available. And it's at relevantradio.com/movie. That's relevantradio.com/movie. Free tickets. I went on there. It took about 2 minutes to get a couple tickets done for somebody that I know. So it's very quick. They'll just email you your tickets and bring those to the theater. So that's it's real exciting because we're able to offer this to our listeners. And like I said, we have several tickets left, and we'd love to fill the theater and have people take opportunity to come see the movie.
Very good. How exciting. And it should just be a wonderful, wonderful screening.
Yeah, the only thing they are saying that is not recommended, I do want to mention, for children under 13. So I know we have a lot of families that like to come, but they are saying under 13. It is a war movie, so there's some stuff they would like to keep for the adults. And I just want to let people know, too, Tom Huckins is going to be coming down there, and he's the regional marketing consultant for the Sacramento area, so mm-hmm. people can meet him and talk to him. Nicole Carden's going to be there. She's our director of our Parish Ambassador Program. So she'll be able to talk to people about our Parish Ambassador and program. So we're going to have a table out there to talk about Relevant Radio, or anybody has any questions, need any Relevant Radio materials, any way we can help them with their needs. And then I'll just thank everybody for coming and to watch the movie. So come early and meet some of the staff for Relevant Radio.
Oh, so it's a twofer.
Right.
That's wonderful.
Exactly.
Well, Kay, thanks for joining us. Thanks for all you do to spread the good word. And we'll just keep plugging away here. And we want to get a good report on that you had a sellout, even though you're not selling anything.
Right. That would be wonderful. One other thing, Bob, I was going to mention,
yeah,
besides the relevantradio.com/movie for tickets. If they want to find out more about the movie, just to see if they're interested in coming, it's that unbrokenfilm.com.
Very good.
Unbrokenfilm.com.
Excellent. Kay, God bless your work.
Well, thank you. God bless you, Bob. Thanks for having me on and helping to promote this event.
Very good. Well, we'll talk to you again soon. We'll work on that Maui deal.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds great.
God bless. That's thank you. That's Kay Bell-Womany, regional marketing consultant for Relevant Radio. We're joined now in studio by Paul Starkey from the St. Vincent. Paul, I don't know what to call you now, a past president, immediate past president, former past president?
Just humble servant.
Humble servant. Paul, good to have you with us.
Well, it's good to be here. Thank you very much for the opportunity. Today I want to talk about money, Bob.
Money.
This is going to be for the Walk for the Poor, and I'm asking all of your listeners today, to anyone who's got a business, who has a desire to sponsor this walk, this is the year to do it. The council walk this year, the proceeds are going for our thrift store. Our thrift store on Watt Avenue, which your program wonderfully promotes every day. We want to get as much money as we can to help with the renovations of the mm-hmm. store, mm-hmm. Some new changes we're going to be making. Very excited about it, but this is one time where I'm very, very insistent that the need is great, that the cause is wonderful, and I hope that your listeners who have businesses can support this walk. This walk is amazing because it is a national walk. September, as I've often said, is the month of St. Vincent de Paul.
Right, right.
It's the St. Vincent de Paul feast day is on the 29th, and there will be a walk on that day. But the council walk is going to be on September 22nd at Our Lady of Grace School. We have invited many conferences to participate. We have about 10 conferences of our 53 conferences that are participating at that walk alone. Other conferences throughout the diocese have sponsored their own walks.
Mm-hmm.
So we have walks in Rio Vista, St. Joseph's in Rio Vista. St. Vincent Ferrer is having a walk in Vallejo. St. Basil is having a walk at their school. In Chico, they're coming back for another year. They always have a very successful walk. Holy Family Citrus Heights, mm-hmm. they're having a walk, and this is really going to be a nice walk. That's going to be on September 29th.
Okay.
That'll be at Christ the King Retreat Center. Just beautiful grounds to walk. It's going to be really nice. Holy Family up in Weed, California.
Ooh, I want to walk in Weed.
They have the most beautiful evangelization. Last year, they carried, and I mean they carried this heavy wooden cross,
mm-hmm.
and they carried it through the streets.
Right through the streets of Weed.
And you can go on our Facebook page, SVDP SAC, S-A-C, and see pictures from last year's walk. But that was just very impressive.
And of Mount course, Shasta just looming there.
Well, hopefully we can see it this year.
Yeah. It was pretty smoky last year.
Well, no, last year was fine, but with this year's fires, which have just been horrible, Was up there, you know, Highway 5 is closed right now.
5 has been closed for days now.
Yeah, and so anyway, we're concerned about that and involved actually in helping with resources for the fire. But just to continue, St. Catherine Drexel in Amador County is having a walk. And finally,
one of our newer parishes.
Really involved in terms of it's a countywide effort of a combination of parishes there. They do wonderful work. Mm-hmm. And then St. Joseph's in Lincoln, they have a huge walk up there. So this is a national event, and it is called Friends of the Poor Walk. Mm-hmm. And what that refers to is your listeners, people who want to be friends to the poor, can participate in this walk.
Whether you're a member of St. Vincent de Paul or not.
Absolutely. Right. This walk is open. The walk at Our Lady of Grace on September 22nd, we're not taking any, you know, there's no race fee. People can just come. If you are going to come, it would be great to give us a little heads up so we have the numbers and everything. But mostly what we're looking for now is business sponsors to sponsor the walk because there are fees. You know, we like to have some balloons and there's other miscellaneous things that we take care of. We get T-shirts and we sell the T-shirts, but really at cost so that funding there is helpful. But the thing that's really important for this walk is that while I'm raising money for the thrift store, each of these conferences I mentioned and all the conferences at our walk are raising money for the poor in their community. Mm-hmm. So, for example, wonderful St. Rose in South Sacramento, they're going to have a group of walkers come in, and they're going to be raising money for the poor in that community. Same thing for in West Sacramento, Holy Cross, Our Lady of Grace, St. Anthony's in South Sacramento, St. Joseph's Elk Grove, all of these conferences coming together in this event to raise money 100% charity. Wow. For their communities. It's an amazing thing. And what I always like is if you go to the national website, which is www.fop, Friends of Poor, fopwalk.org, you will see this wonderful map of these little red dots across the United States. Very, very exciting, just a wonderful cause. But we do need sponsors. So how can you help? If you can sponsor, if your business can sponsor, we have a sponsor form on our website, mm-hmm. www.svdp-sacramento.org, the world's worst website name. Or you can do what I do now, just St. Vincent de Paul, Sacramento.
You just Google it and it comes up.
It'll come up. Yeah. But on that website, if you scroll down, there is a place where it says Sacramento Walk, September 22nd. You click there. You can get all the information, and then there's another spot where it says all walks, and there you can find the sponsor form. So we're asking for sponsors, and I'm not asking for big time. This is not big money, Bob.
Sponsors, just primarily financial sponsorship?
Financial sponsors, and we have the metallic order. A bronze sponsor is $100, but if you want to sponsor at $50, you know, maybe we'll call you the nickel sponsor. I don't know. But our event sponsor is $1,000. And mm-hmm. so, like I said, it would be very helpful to have this because we want to focus on having a good walk so those conferences can raise that 100% charity money. So it's a lot of fun. And I'm hoping that, I know, for example, this year we do this every year. And for the Sacramento Council, this is the most participation. And let me tell you what's exciting about this. You can, from your computer, donate online. You mm-hmm. just go to our website, and you'll see the link. You go to Facebook, again, SVDP SAC. Right. You can find the link. But to date online, we have raised, for direct charity for the poor, $11,917. Wow. And we want to triple that if we can.
Yeah.
Because every dollar we raise is going to pay someone's rent. It's going to help with.
Yeah, literally every dollar.
Every dollar. Yeah. Utility assistance. You know, one of our focuses is on homelessness. And so we are trying to do our small little part by keeping people in their homes, in their apartments. And, you know, so when people get into trouble, our conferences will twin. We band together, share our resources, and try to help people out. We can't help everybody, but we're trying our best to do that. And if we have more funds, we can help more people. And I know that a lot of people think, well, the economy is booming, everything is going great. It is going great for some people, but for too many people, I got a telephone call message just this morning, someone calling for rent assistance. And they, you know, they will find my phone number online, not for that purpose, because we try to direct people right to the conferences locally because we work locally. But every week I'm getting calls, we get emails, people come into our thrift store and they're asking for assistance. And we, again, are trying to help as many people as we can, working with other partners in all the different communities too. But this is the one event where you can see I get kind of, you know, really this is important, folks. So any help will be greatly appreciated.
Well, you know, as you well know, the poor get it. They get hit on both ends, whether it's the economy's bad or the economy's good. The economy's good, everything heats up, rents go up.
Right.
Inflation goes up, everything costs more. And if you're unemployed or underemployed, suddenly your rent just went up by 5% or 10%.
Another article in the Bee today about the price of rents going up and the difficulty of finding places.
You compare the rents now to even 5 years ago. It's dramatic. It's not just it's a little nuisance. It's dramatic.
Right. And our notion about helping to prevent homelessness is to, you know, try to get resources to people before they get into that position where they're homeless, because once you're in that situation, the getting out of that poverty, the tyranny of that poverty is really difficult, because you start losing your resources. If you've got a place to put your stuff, you're not dragging it on the street. Right. You're not losing it. We just recently helped somebody who was going to be homeless. Fortunately, she found a position, got a job, found a place to stay. But she was flat broke, paying for other things, and she had to get her stuff out of storage. And so we helped her with that. And so that, you know, we brought stability. You know, it's, I call it, you know, eradicating poverty one home visit at a time. And it sounds silly, but that's what we do. We meet people one-on-one. We meet our neighbor. We try to help them do the best we can. We can't always help, but when we can help, we are there. And even if we can help, we're there for them. We're trying to be present to them. And I can't tell you how many times when I've had to, you know, tell somebody, I'm sorry, we can't help you. The problem's too big for us. They are grateful that we talked with them, met with them, maybe prayed with them, you know, but it was that encounter because, you know, at least they know that people are caring.
Right.
You know.
Right. Well, you know, and the thing that I like so much about St. Vincent de Paul Society is, like you say, you help somebody get their stuff out of storage. Mm-hmm. There aren't charities that just say we help people get stuff out of storage. It's not our banner. It's not, and it may be somebody else, like you say, with rent assistance. It may even be food. It may there and with all due respect to all other charities that are all doing great work too, you haven't pigeonhole yourself into this is what we do. If you need a box of oranges, we can do it. If you don't need oranges, forget it.
Right, and that comes from our founder, Blessed Frederick Ozanam, a French gentleman, 1833, founded the conference, 20 years old. And the notion from Blessed Frederick, whose feast day was this last weekend, and the teaching from St. Vincent de Paul is there's no charity that's foreign to the society, so we do odd things, and I say it. I wish we could do more, but we're doing what we can, you know, in conjunction with, you know, wonderful Catholic charities in Sacramento and in Yolo and in Solano, and in the north part of the state. You know, we partner with them. We try to make that dollar that's donated go three times as far as it normally would. And we're, you know, I'm always amazed at the end of the year. Our year ends this month. We are on the Vincentian year, which is October to September. So ending up this year, and all the conferences were told, oh, it's time to do the annual reports. And you could hear the groaning throughout the Diocese of Sacramento.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when that's done, you will see the signs of mercy. You know, and I'm always amazed, because Vincentians are very humble, except for me, and they don't tell us anything. They just do it.
They just do it.
And we find out about it, and we just say, thank you.
Yeah, you know, and the other thing is that having been parts of different charity events over the years, and you see people want to know, well, what percent of this goes to overhead, and what percent of this goes to whatever? And frequently, there's nothing fraudulent about it, but you know, people have charities have expenses, and
right.
And some of them get up to about 80%, which is really good. That's actually going to whatever it is they're trying to do. Try 100%. That's pretty good.
For most of what we do, it's 100%. Yeah. Our wonderful president, council president, who runs these, you know, who guides and directs these 53 conferences throughout the diocese, she's a volunteer, doesn't right. take a penny. And it's true for all of our Vincentian members and associates. We do have a thrift store.
You have to pay the light bill.
And we pay the light bill, and we pay the rent. And, you know, one of the functions of our thrift store is to hire people
and, you, yeah,
and
you
train
do
them up.
We have employees there.
We have
yeah.
employees, right. and so that's an important function, too.
Sure.
A great story. I have to share this because I was just so happy with this. We had a young woman who, right out of high school, needed a job, and we got her into the thrift store and got her some training. And she's now found another job, and that's a good thing.
Right,
that's
right.
a good thing because we're trying to help people in the different ways that we can. But our thrift store, like I say, that's the focus. You know, having participated in the very famous Holy Smokes Catholic Comedy Night, which was a huge success, and your presentation was wonderful. I'm sure people are still talking about it.
I'm getting many offers from Las Vegas.
I'm hoping, yeah. but you know, you and I and those wonderful comedians, you know, threw a show and we made almost $1,000
really?
For the thrift store.
And it was so much fun.
It was
it
fun.
It was just fun.
I was a little bit concerned, as I think I told you, about, you know, it's comedy, it's
sure,
adult comedy,
sure.
and these, you know, these folks, you know, sometimes it's a little blue humor,
yeah,
and
yes.
but we got through it.
We got through it. Nobody said a bad word.
It was good, and it was really great because my daughter Adrian, who headlined the program, put me at ease right away to tell the whole audience that yeah. if anybody slips up, it's a $10 donation to
yeah,
the society.
That's right. Well, she had some great religious themed stories of her own, which was
yeah,
very fun.
It was good, and one of the things that I thought that was good, it showed people that there, you know, we have a wonderful church, a beautiful church, and wonderful stories that we can tell and share.
Right.
And, you know, so it was a fun night. But that was a good event, raised some money for the store. And like I said, this walk, the portion that I'm doing, which we call the council walk, that will go towards, you know, again, supporting the store and its many programs and everything. So, and there's things we want to do with the store. We want to sort of take it to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other projects that we're working on now that are, they're new special projects. And so Judy Deline, our president, has just pioneered a new program in coordination with the diocese on prison ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's about to take off, and Judy, I'm sure, will be able to tell you more about that later. But we're really excited about that. This weekend, we had our fellowship breakfast and day of spirituality, and there was a gentleman, Mark Rennick, who is with the St. Vincent de Paul Reentry Program in Boise, Idaho, and he's a former convict, and was quite blunt about telling his story and telling how he made the transition and then telling about the wonderful things they're doing in Boise, and giving us some real inspiration for what we're going to do here. And then our wonderful John Watkins, the director of Catholic Charities, he was our first speaker, and he talked about, listen to this title, Mission Alive, Vincentian Spirituality in the Age of Pope Francis.
Wow.
And John knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, we were so lucky to have John.
It was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and it's interesting how prisons and all things, you know, sentencing, everything it's been in the news in the California legislature. Juvenile justice is in the news. A lot of back and forth on that, and bail reform. Et cetera. It seems like that's come in restorative justice. We hear about that a lot.
Sure.
An awful lot of that. And the reentry programs are so important. And just visiting people in prison is so important. Most all of them are going to be walking among us one day.
Right. And St. Vincent de Paul members, again, very humbly, very quietly, we don't put a banner up about it. They have done prison ministry visits in the jails, and they continue to do that.
Right.
This program is to take it to that level that you talked about, the reentry, which is
right.
so difficult. And this is a new face of poverty.
Sure.
When prisoners were transferred from the state system in California to the county system.
Back to the county jails, yeah.
You know, you have some programs that are working well, but there's a lot of people that get just, you know, they're caught in the
right.
middle, and,
right.
and they're without resources. So this is a start. Just another one of these programs at the start. But we're excited about it. And what's interesting is that we've been trying to develop something for about 3 years. And I've just concluded that the Holy Spirit's time is not my time. Because I always think it's going to go A, B, C,
right.
D.
Right.
And this one went A, W, back to L, P, over to N, back to Y. And now I think we're heading towards Z.
Mm-hmm.
So it's... But that's providence,
yeah.
you know, and I've just resigned myself to it. It's like Notre Dame football, which, as you know, we're doing great.
Well, cream Michigan, embarrass Michigan, and then just struggle like the Dickens with Ball State. You know, it's like, it's funny. I sure wouldn't want to coach a bunch of 19 and 20-year-olds.
Well, I'll tell you, for your viewers, I've brought Bob the current schedule.
Oh, very good.
And there's only one game on here that matters to me, and it's on September 29th, Stanford and Notre Dame.
Oh,
right now, number 8 and number 9. And that's the only game that matters.
That'll be in South Bend.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, Stanford looked smothering against USC. In my lifetime, I don't remember USC ever scoring 3 points only. I don't think that's ever happened.
You know, the whole season's been kind of crazy, but this schedule, and a lot of my friends are talking about it, you know, it's going to be a fun schedule. You know, you're playing Northwestern, Syracuse, some of the traditional rivalries. I don't know where Ball State came from. I don't know, but
yeah.
That's okay. And the theory about Ball State is, because I heard a lot of people on email talking about what you're saying, you know, that they were kind of, you know, off their game.
Yeah.
Another theory is that Coach Kelly was holding back.
Yeah.
And doesn't want to show all his cards. And you know, and the main thing is injuries. Notre Dame seems to be plagued with injuries.
Yeah.
So maybe my I'm going to put a good face on it. Maybe it was holding back, not showing the cards. And
a little letdown after beating Michigan. You know, I mean, you kind of put all of that into the basket.
Yeah.
And, of course, my alma mater, UC Davis, is playing Stanford this week.
Oh, boy.
So they can...
Rough them up
a little bit, yeah. But, you know, there's three schools. There's three Division I, what do they call it, FBS now, school, the old 1A, that have never played a 1AA team.
Wow.
USC, UCLA, Notre Dame. Never. People might have thought Ball State was in that category, but they're not. They're Mid-America. David Letterman's alma mater.
Right. I was going to mention that. Yeah. But I thought maybe that was the connection.
That's it. Maybe David was in the stands.
The Indiana connection. I don't know.
Yeah. What is that? Muncie, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, they won the game.
Yeah. What do they call that? The W.
The W. They always show touchdown Jesus.
I you know, I just mentioned this the other day. I not only touchdown Jesus, which is right out, you know, it's the Memorial Library, beautiful tile mosaic, but they always give the shot of the Golden Dome.
Oh yeah,
and people say, oh, isn't that pretty and stuff? And you know, it's the statue of our, you know, Blessed Mother right there on national TV.
Right,
and
it's fabulous.
It's great. It's great.
Yeah.
Again, you know, more beautiful things about our church and our traditions and stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, like I always say, Notre Dame football, all of my friends know that's a prayer opportunity.
Sure it is.
Because even with Ball State, you know, there was at least one Hail Mary. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, well, there's you know, I mean, you look at this stadium, seats 80,000, and there are probably more prayers on a Saturday afternoon in South Bend coming out of that stadium than there are on Sunday morning.
Probably.
Hate to say it, but sports brings that out.
Well, and the fan base is just amazing. I mean, throughout Northern California. One of the things that kills me is that I think, you know, Notre Dame football, it's the biggest story of the day, right? Yeah. And so I get, you know, to the the Sunday morning paper, I rip it open, like, you know, what are they going to say about Notre Dame? Yeah. Nothing. It's like, nothing, what?
Yeah. Well, because of deadlines now. You know, a few years ago, I was working for Sirius Satellite Radio, and they had a promotion. Travel to, you know, win. I don't even know if we just drew the name out of a hat or what, but and you'll get to go to a Notre Dame game and, sure. and be on the show, and so I got to go. I didn't win the promotion; I was the host, you know. And you know, they put them up for two nights and flew them in and everything, and tickets to the game. And as part of that, on Friday before the game, we just for our regular show hour, we interviewed a number of Notre Dame people, some of the famous professors from the law school and various places.
Sure.
And President Jenkins.
Oh.
And we interviewed President Jenkins on the top of the press box, the fifth floor of the press box. That's where they set up our studio, even though the game wasn't until the next day.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's just, you know, radio's radio. I was wearing a sweatshirt that said, you know, you don't dress up, said, Texas Longhorns on it.
Which
I think I got at the St. Vincent de Paul store, you know.
Well, thank you for that, but yeah. I don't know how you got through security.
And President Jenkins looks at me and he goes, wow, are you from Texas? I said, no, it was on sale, you know. So the next day there was a breakfast with Coach Kelly where he's talking to the boosters and stuff, and we interviewed him and we broadcast live. The next day, one of the vice chancellors was there, and he walks up. He says, are you Bob Dunning? And I said, yeah. And he hands me this package. He says, this is from President Jenkins.
Oh, my
gosh.
And
it was a Notre Dame sweatshirt.
Oh, that's fantastic.
The other day, my wife was wearing it, and I said, you be careful with that sweatshirt. You know where that came from. It came from the president himself.
Wow, that is a great story.
So,
but you know, that kind of tells it like it is, because it's like the Notre Dame faithful. We wear the blue and gold, and you know, then the first game, you know, that sea of green.
Yeah, well, and Coach Kelly was wearing a green shirt.
Yeah,
yeah.
So a lot of fun.
Still remember when I think it was USC, and they came out in the green jerseys years and years ago. I don't even was it was Divine. I can't remember who was coaching, but
I think it was Divine.
I remember I was listening to the game on the radio. I mean, in the pregame stuff, and then here come the Irish, and then he just lost it. They're wearing green, and he may have had to go to confession after what he was just completely lost it.
I'll tell you something, and I don't know if anyone else does this, but like if we're at halftime and we're not doing that well, I'll go change my shirt.
Yeah.
And I'll bring out, you know, the winning shirt.
Right.
Yeah. So it is a lot of fun, though, every Saturday.
And you, of course, are a Notre Dame alum.
Class of 76.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was just a great experience, just a real privilege, and really pleased to see how Notre Dame has transformed. They you know, when I went there, the first year I was there in 1972, it was the first year of being co-ed.
I was wondering when the switch was.
And the Notre Dame took it real slow, 4,000 guys, 326 women. they've done much better since then.
Yeah.
And it's come full circle, and it's just a beautiful campus. And
oh, the campus is gorgeous.
Innovative programs too, and one of the things that. I'm just so proud of, and they will always have a commercial about this on the game day. The helping that Notre Dame does throughout the world.
Yeah.
You know, the different programs and using, you know, their science programs, their business programs to advance, people in need.
We have Catholic schools here in the Diocese of Sacramento has Notre Dame, you know, it's a program with the Notre Dame through their Department of Education. And they actually came out on a bus, all the people of the Department of Education, and we had Holy Mass with them at Raley Field a couple of years ago.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, and it's just I remember all through growing up, I'd read the box scores on Sunday morning, you know, and I'd always check the attendance. Notre Dame was always 57,888. It was the same every time. I thought, that's really weird. The exact same people. It's just so weird. Then I realized that was capacity.
Right.
You know, and then I said, man, that's not that big of a stadium for that big of a program. It's a good size, but, you know, and not with the big house being 110,000 or something. And
yeah.
And then one day they said, they kept saying, well, it's hard to expand the stadium. We want to keep the look and the facade and all. Somehow they figured out to do it. Now it's about 80.
Yeah, and it's a beautiful, beautiful facility, as you know. And you know, it was really funny back in the day, you know, being on campus in the dorms, you know, Saturday morning, you think you might sleep in. Nope.
No.
Your roommates will drag you out of bed, and, you know, everyone's going to the game. And well, it's a great time.
That same trip, on Saturday morning, we went to cover the game. We weren't doing the game live. We didn't, you know, they have their normal stuff. But we got to watch the game from the press box. So in the press box, I mean, it's like about five levels, and kind of like heaven, you know. And so there I am. I come into the ground floor probably an hour ahead of time, and the elevator opens up to go up. And I look in there, and there's Joe Montana. And I'm going, that's not possible. First, I get to meet President Jenkins. And now
you had a good weekend.
There is Joe Montana
you had a
in
good
the
weekend.
Elevator, and I get in and I say, you know, behave yourself. Behave yourself. Don't say, I know who you are, or talk to, you know, just behave yourself. Just say a fourth floor, please. You know. But there he was. And then I go stand in line in the press box. They're passing out hot dogs and chili and stuff because the press, they don't have any money. You know, they get to eat for free. And right in front of me, I'm looking, I'm going, this guy looks familiar. He looks familiar. I can't place him. And then it hit me. It was Jerry Faust.
Oh, my goodness.
And we start chatting, and I tell him I'm doing a radio show. He says, here's my phone number. Call me anytime. Yeah, just the nicest guy in the world.
Really nice, yeah. And that's pretty usual for that group, too.
Yeah.
Very, very friendly.
So I really had the Notre Dame experience,
well, you,
even
you
though
certainly,
I didn't go to school there.
No, you did. And you know, and the thing is, we love the alumni. We love what we call the subway alumni.
Subway alumni.
And that's a term that would come, I think it was from the Chicago area.
Yeah.
I might be wrong on that.
Well,
but
you saw it in Rudy, where everybody was rooting for Notre Dame long before anybody from the family went to Notre Dame.
Yeah, but it's part of our, you know, it is part of the Catholic tradition in this country, and you know, great stories and stuff. But that you know, Catholic tradition is an important one to the university, and they make sure that, you know, they carry that message through.
Yeah.
So before I'm coming back to what I was here for, Bob, raising money. So if anybody could sponsor, they can go to the website, or they can just call me directly, 916-955-6758. 916-955-6758. And again, this is for our wonderful thrift store, and really having a concentrated effort this year.
And the walk at Our Lady of Grace, people should know it's at the school, which is not attached to the parish.
Correct. The parish is on the corner down there, Jefferson. You keep on going down the road, and 1990 Linden, I believe.
Has a nice rural feel to it.
Oh, it's beautiful. And this, I always joke about this walk. We've done this walk in this location before. We will walk around the school track for the little kids, and they get to all join in. They will probably stay behind, but then the big kids, we go out onto the Clarksburg Trail.
Oh, wow.
And I always joke about, you know, and make sure the mountain lion doesn't get you.
Right,
and that keeps people attentive. We walk and then down the trail, and then go into a neighborhood, and then walk back to the school. Very nice.
Is there a trail that actually goes all the way to Clarksburg?
You know, I think that there's a line, but I don't think the trail goes all the way there yet. I could be wrong about that, because West Sacramento is just booming with improvements.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's hard to keep track, but I don't think it goes that far. I know that as you head towards Clarksburg, the trail gets a little rustic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the stuff they've done around the Tower Bridge and all through there by Rayleigh Field is beautiful.
A lot of fun.
Yeah.
Great stuff happening in West Sacramento.
Indeed. Indeed. Paul, always a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Again, Paul's number, you got to come up with a sponsorship,
916-955-6758. Thank
very
you.
Good. Thanks, Paul. We'll take a quick break here. We will be back with more on a Bishop's Hour. Well, we'll take a break in a minute, but let me tell you about a lot of things coming up here in the diocese. Well, we'll take the break first, and then we'll talk about those things. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
Hello, this is Jennifer Campbell, Director of Trinity Pines Catholic Center. You're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. And we go all the way up to the great city of Yuba City, and we're joined by Maureen Guth, who is with 40 Days for Life in Yuba City. Maureen, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. How are you today?
Very good. Good to have you with us. How are things up there in the, Sutter County?
Yes, it is, Sutter County.
It's very confusing.
Things are going well.
Yeah, Yuba City should be in Yuba County. It's confusing.
You know, we've lived here 43 years, and I think for the first 42 years, I thought the same thing. I finally got it figured out, which is which.
I was talking to a guy one day, and he told me he interviewed for a job, something to do with the city of Sutter County, but he was interviewing in Yuba City, and he said, "Oh, I just love Yuba County," and they all laughed and said, "Well, you're not in Yuba County."
Yes, more of us do are confused with that.
Yeah, well, it doesn't matter what county you're in; you're going to be doing 40 Days for Life.
Yes, this I believe is about our seventh campaign. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you know, it begins September 26th, and it will be finished November 4th. And we've had our meetings and got our flyers going. Churches set for having sign-ups for those to come pray. So it's exciting. You know, there's so many good things happening right now, pro-life-wise, of course. We're praying that Kavanaugh gets confirmed, and I think President Trump is doing some good things. He's following through with many of his pro-life promises, and hopefully see Planned Parenthood defunded. So all of those things just seem to be on our side, and so we go into this campaign with a lot of confidence, but also just excited to be there to help women.
Well, sir, we do not do politics here on the Bishop Sauer. We have supporters, okay. And we know they're good Catholics on all sides, but we do certainly pray for life and for the unborn and for those that are in that situation, absolutely. But tell us, where do you all gather in Yuba City?
Okay, our campaign is in front of Planned Parenthood at 430 Palora Avenue, and their day runs from 8 in the morning to 5 in the evening, Monday through Friday. We gather there and pray, bringing together as many as we can, holding signs that say, pray to end abortion. Other signs that say, life, a beautiful choice. Smile, your mom chose life. Many different signs. We pray for the workers that are in there and involved. We try to build a relationship with them. And since we have been there 7 different campaigns, that is happening. We have a wonderful group of people that do come out and pray. And I have a young woman that is really feels she is very much called by God to reach women and help them. And she's our main counselor on the sidewalk, although myself and 2 others are as well. But she seems to have a dynamic ability to reach out and speak with women and men going in and out of the Planned Parenthood. So it's an exciting time. There have been babies saved at our Planned Parenthood. We have they are a referral agency. They refer for abortions past 10 weeks. But, of course, the first 10 weeks, they hand out the RU486 pill.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, with the RU486 reversal, it's very exciting to have that available to them when, you know, they find out that they really didn't want to take that pill, that we can give them information on contacting someone that can help reverse the effects of that first pill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, we have a lot of support. We have probably 10 to 15 churches that we contact, and we have people coming from all different churches, which is, for me as a Catholic, it's a very unifying thing to do. We find our unity in Jesus and in saving babies. And so it's really brought a lot of us together.
Mm-hmm.
And I thank God for that.
Very good. Very good. How many people do you have all together in your group?
Well, I wish I could say 1,000. We probably have 150 to 200 people that have participated. And as far as regulars, we have probably 30 people that are always faithful every day. So it changes.
Wow, that's quite a number.
It is. It's very good. We have a lot of Catholics that come after Mass and pray. We have rosary groups that come out there and pray. We have people from the various churches that come together. And we always start the day with the 40 Days for Life meditation. I make sure everybody has a copy of that. And it's really important. The businesses surrounding Planned Parenthood are all very supportive of us and what we do, offering us water or using their facilities if we need them. We're on a side street, but it's a very well-traveled side street, and we have people, we have more, you know, honking and thumbs up than negative signs. So
oh, that's very good.
Very,
you've got a wonderful experience there compared to compared to some. Maureen, we're up against the clock here, but we greatly appreciate you taking the time to join us this morning, and God bless your work up there. And
Thank you, Bob.
You know you're making a real difference. Thanks, Maureen.
Thank you, Bob. Bye-bye.
Yeah, that's wonderful. God bless her and all the 40 Days for Life people in Yuba City. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates. Underwriting for the Bishop's Hour is provided by Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services, a ministry of the Diocese of Sacramento. As a church-owned nonprofit founded in faith, Catholic Funeral and Cemetery Services is dedicated to providing education, support, and resources during life's most difficult moments. They will make every effort to enable you to realize your final wishes while empowering families to make completely informed decisions. You can give them a call. They're at 855-525-2285. That's 855-525-2285. We're also brought to you by a generous grant from Christine Cipperly, marriage and family therapist. If you're looking for help with family or personal problems, if you'd like help from someone with a Catholic point of view, someone who understands the importance of marriage and family and affirms the dignity of every human life, Christine Cipperly is a trained and experienced counselor of married couples, families, and individuals. She can work with you on your marriage, your parenting, or your individual struggles in a way that will not violate our faith. Christine is a wonderful, wonderful therapist. Give her a call. She's at 530-400-4757. That's 530-400-4757. We'd like to thank Christine Cipperly and Catholic Cemeteries and Funeral Services for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. That's going to do it for us for today. Thanks for listening, everyone. God bless. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
This is Bishop William K. Wiegand, the Bishop Emeritus of Sacramento, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Denning.
To the cross I look, and to the cross I cling. Of its suffering I do drink, of its work I do sing. said, my Savior, both bruised and crushed, showing that God is love and God is just. Yeah.